So welcome everyone here on this fabulous day of August the 25th. Actually, it's a cloudy day here with fog obscuring the mountains, but they still look kind of misty, sort of like on days like this, I like to pretend I'm in Scotland. I can pretend I'm in different parts of the world just by the way the weather changes here. And it's a wonderful little game I play that helps my heart and mind teleport to people that we're connected to all over the world. So it was really nice to hear from you, Ellen. And we have a special day today because one of our blessing givers, Chris Dunn, is here with me. He's here in my office, so welcome, Chris. I'm so glad to have you, and Chris has just volunteered to help move more paintings than you would ever want to see, at least in a box, although I hope as many of you as possible who are in Texas will come to see them unboxed and hanging on the wall at the Doss Cultural Center in my hometown in Weatherford, Texas. I've been sending out invitations by email, so I won't take up our blessing time with more details on that. But we were in the professional moving business yesterday, creating literally a miracle of as many boxes as we got into that trailer. And we're all tired but refreshed and ready to just be in spirit today and to be with you in love for whatever we can do to assist and serve and bring blessings to your life. And I would like to open this with an invitation for callers to come in because we have covered some very subject-rich information in my presentations up to this point. And I know some of you may have questions and or comments or realizations that you want to share with the group. And this is your time to do it. And I'm not completely finished with that subject, but we're pretty much at the point of, well, I would say we'll never wrap it up because it's a huge subject. But we're at the point of making the point. And so I want to do that before we leave today. But right now, I'd like to hear where you are in absorbing and applying and utilizing the information you've gotten so far. So we have a caller from area code 321.
Good afternoon. I had a realization that was a big, big step up for me.
Great.
When you're talking about, you know, the difference between physical and material, and the subject kind of came up that when there were instances of people having to be faithful, even though the material was under a profound threat, you know, like the women that faced persecution, but were helped out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I felt kind of positive when you spoke about that, and the reason it was a big step up or a big realization for me is because I didn't always feel really positive about that kind of circumstance. I mean, it's not like a happy thing. You know, I hear about the Christians in the first century, you know, like with the lions, and it would make me feel just really dreadful.
Oh, but, of course. Of course it would, but you know the interesting thing is most of the time when they were persecuted, they would die singing because the opportunity to stand that in that much power for their belief, for their faith, brought them out of the material, so they were completely out of the material body before it was killed, and they literally felt nothing. And I believe this is what happened for Yeshua on the cross. So many people who don't understand the power of this have speculated that maybe he was given some elixir, pain-relieving elixir, or magic mushrooms or something to allow him to transport out of the physical before the inevitable pain set in. It wouldn't have been necessary with him at all, because he knew the difference between the material and the physical. Now, This brings up a good, I want to give you the list of reasons of why this is important. And while I'm doing this, other people may think about comments or questions they would possibly want to ask. And the first reason is that the physical and the material are continuations of the same substance, but they're not at the same level of livingness. Yeshua said, life is love in action. Love in action. And so, as we, Chris and I are laughing because we have a little blessing giver cat who gets so excited at certain parts of the message, and she's celebrating right now. But if life is love in action, then this is where love in its physical form is the adamantine particles, is forming substance, is bringing light into existence, is igniting the birth of life, and the birth of life ignites other configurations that support our life. And it's a continuum that eventually will become very locked in to inert substances. And these inert substances, we still can love. Sometimes we have a sentimental object that reminds us of a special time in our life. It might be a teddy bear that our first child had. We're very sentimental about it, but it's not that substance we're really, really sentimental about. It's all the memories of sharing it with the child. That's what we're really, really in love with. And it's very important to understand that there's a point at which the physical is fluid, and the physical can remove us from the limitations of material form. And if we are not somewhat removed from the limitations of material form, we're not able to change those material forms. We're not able to fix them, heal them, move them around. We actually become servants of the material form. If we are energy poor, if we have more material form than we have the living physicality of that which built the physical form.
How would I think in terms of prioritizing physical to get to that point?
Beg your pardon?
How would I think in terms of prioritizing physical? Am I saying that right? Would I prioritize
yes.
physical
okay.
to get to that point?
Okay, well here's a common example we all have in today's world. It's so easy just to pop into the grocery store or one of the chain quick food stores and get something as a quick fix to eat. I'm hungry, how do I fix it? We go for something that's already prepared. In other words, all of the wonderful life energy that was given for our nourishment has now gone down the chain of effect into what we call prepared junk food. Now, at that level, it's not going to nourish you very much. You can amazingly restore some of the nourishment through prayer, through just receiving with love, feeling the love, bringing it to your body, praying over your food. You can restore the content in any food to make it better and more nourishing. But you'd really be better off stopping at a natural grocer, buying some fresh fruits, fresh veggies, or something else, even if it's prepared at the deli from fresh things, sitting down and eating it in a happy mood, a thankful mood, where you're really having a conscious conversation with your food. See, it's a matter of degrees. That's really what, even the worst junk food originally was alive. It was originally alive. Maybe it wasn't a good form of living. Maybe those poor little chickens were confined in inhumane quarters. But we can still love them and feel their love that they lived for us. We can recover that. See, I want you to understand this. It's not a cut and dried thing. But we're living in a universe that takes living energy and puts it into fixed material form. And at the level of fixed material form, we can't do very much with it other than sweep it, clean it up, rearrange it. It's like moving the furniture. And that consumes a lot of our valuable energy. Not only that, now we're moving to the second point. I was speaking with a blessing giver shortly ago, and we were having the conversation about my visitation, well, actually Yeshua's visitation with me. And he said, you know, I've always wanted to have that. And I pray and I talk to Yeshua, and Yeshua said, well, I appear to you all the time. You just can't see me. Okay? Now, the reason why is because our senses are so dominated by the material forms around us. Our eyesight, our sense of touch, our sense of direction is geared toward keeping us from bumping into the furniture. You know, we listen for noises to, you know, to not go out when it's thundering or lightning. In other words, our senses have all become directed into the material forms of life. And I'm hoping to liberate your senses to where you can feel the purely physical. The purely physical thing, like, here's an example. I know you have walked in. Let's just pick out, everybody, pick out three rooms you've entered into in your life. One that felt horrible. One that was kind of neutral and okay. Didn't do anything for you, but it wasn't horrible. Might have been a bus station. And then you moved into a room that was just, the minute you crossed the threshold, it was like, you went into this special place of living energy. And your senses were attuned to something more than just the bricks and mortar that built that room. You see, we do have an ability to sense living energy. We're just not using it. And it's a little bit of a weakened muscle. It's also a little bit of a depleted supply. Because we're always investing good after, I would say the bad. I love my home, and I will devote a certain amount of energy to cleaning it. But I'm not going to just sink a lot of my personal energy into the idea that this physical home is my real home, because it's not. I'm not going to buy into that delusion. I'm not going to get a new car every year just so I can feel good on the highway in this material piece of, you know, production from Detroit or Tokyo or wherever. I'm going to, you know, I will invest in the automobile I have to make sure that that I'm in communication with it, and that it doesn't talk to me verbally, but I know it signals. I'm in tune with its signals. I can tell when it's sluggish. I can tell when it needs an oil change. I can feel when the tires need some air. You know, you can feel, you get into a rapport with your automobile where you can feel the extra amount of energy it has. For that reason, I really don't like new cars, because new cars are just pieces of engineering that are impressing me with how wonderful they are as a piece of engineering. And I don't have any rapport with them yet. I would much rather have an automobile I have rapport with. And it's fascinating how I actually get better gas mileage when I have rapport with my car. And that's a really good example of how the surplus of energy increases when we put our attention on the conversation with energy and physicality instead of the outward form of material structure and appearance. Now, a lot of you could think, oh, well, Glenda, aren't you just talking about Yeshua's discourse on structure versus love? Well, in a way, yes. In a way, yes. But I think that this is not just limited to structure. What I'm talking about is a beautiful continuum that goes all the way from the beginning, creation, down to the food on our plate and how we see it. Do we see it as just an oversalted, oversweetened delicacy that we're eating because we have a compulsion to eat? Or are we eating something that actually has the energy of life in it? Big question and big difference. And you see, one of the reasons we're talking about this is because I want each one of you to have more physical energy and to be less a slave to the material consuming forms around you. Anybody who's owned a home or a boat or a car or any form of high maintenance material object knows how they can deplete your energy just with upkeep, not to mention taxes and repairs and just doing things their way.
But how does the expression that the master said, he said, be tough, how does that relate to material and physical? I'm wondering if I'm misunderstanding that expression. He said, I think he said, be tough, and it rings in my head a lot.
Be strong. But to be strong, it requires that you have a very high and living connection with life. And this goes back to what he taught in the Pathways to Success. Follow life in the living. Actually, if you follow that chapter, you pretty much will understand everything I've been teaching. It starts by following life in the living. The material that we're talking about is energy almost at the point of being dead. It's been not totally consumed because it's not ashes yet. It's not completely returned to the earth. It's not completely disintegrated. But it's on the death trail. By the time anything becomes solidly material, it's dying. Don't give too much energy to it. And it actually is hungry and it will want energy because it's dying. Follow life in the living. Laugh. Be joyful. Be creative. Tune into a higher energy vibration. Be creative. Be alive. Be alert. When you're in traffic, don't be fighting the cars. Be alert to what people may be going through as they drive along the highway with you. Be alert to life and follow life in the living. That's really, really what it's about, because I want everyone to understand there's not a cut and dried point where physical becomes material, but because material is the end point of all physical supply. Well, I wouldn't say all, because God is creating more physical supply every day. The trees are creating more physical energy every day. They're giving off oxygen for us to breathe. The ocean is giving off new physical supply every day. And I want you to focus upon this, because this is the substance that creates miracles. When Yeshua multiplied the fishes, he didn't focus upon the finished product of an adult fish, cloning it like a Star Trek maneuver. That's not what he did. He loved the essence of the fish and drew from the fish the energy necessary to multiply the fish. When he healed, he drew from people the energy to heal them, and he gave them energy. The woman following him touched his robe, and he, can you imagine in a crowd of people where his robe is probably dragging on the ground, and all kinds of people brushing on it. He felt one woman touch it. Well, you know why he could feel it is because there was an energy connection that happened. He felt her touch his physical form, not the material form of the robe. If she had only touched the material, he would never have felt it in that crowd of people. But she touched the physical. She touched his extended body, his extended energy field, and he felt it. He noticed it. You can be in a better communion with God, with one another, with life, with nature, and with everything you do if you focus more on the physical side of that essence than upon the material side of it. One of the things I used to like to do, I haven't done it in a long time. We don't have any good antique stores where I live now, but in Texas there were some great antique stores. And I would love to go in, and I would just touch one of the older pieces of furniture. Wasn't particularly interested in buying or collecting it, but I was interested in extracting from the energy the story of that table, or the story of that cut glass. How many tables had it been served on? How had it been at a wedding? Where had it been? What was the life story behind it? That was just a little example. The one of the most precious events in my life was owning a vineyard the 5 years before I had my experience with Yeshua. And this was essential for me because until that time, like most people, I focused upon the material. Even my senses were focused upon the material. But when I was on the vineyard, I learned to hear the music of the grapevines. They sing to each other. And their song was different from the corn in the cornfield. And they have a song in winter. They have a song in spring. And the energy was so alive on the vineyard, just us communing with each other. One winter in a deep snow, we attracted 12 whooping cranes to land on the vineyard. And I tiptoed around in the snow, hoping they wouldn't see me. And I had just a few moments to be with them until they took off like B-52s. They're amazing, amazing animals. Glorious, beautiful birds squawking, awk, awk, awk. You know, I don't know whether they were celebrating or fussing at me, but I had probably interrupted their sanctuary. But they had felt the energy. And every time we were in the flyway of geese that would migrate over the vineyard, and I would notice that the geese would approach very quietly when they would get over the vineyard while they were passing. They would, awk, awk, awk. You know, they would always talk back. It's as if they were talking to the energy of the vineyard. Now, animals migrate according to their sensitivity of the physical. They live by the physical. They don't live by the material. They have no handbags. They have no cell phones. They have no GPS systems. They don't have suitcases. And they don't have birdhouses to go to. They live by the physical. They smell the water. They smell the green. They smell the storms. This is what I mean by the physical. And it doesn't mean that the material is not also there. But they know better. They know that the earth in a dead form cannot feed them. They're only interested in the earth in her living form. And they know it's a waste of time to think about even flying or migrating to where the earth is not producing. They don't waste their energy on that. You see, we are going through a lot of changes in our world. And you're going to need an inner GPS system in order to know what's best for you, where to go, what to do, how to build the next place in your life, the next step up in your life, and being in tune with the physical is how you will do it. Knowing, being able to just put everything you own in a garage sale and not cry over it. what, of course, you'll keep your sentimental things. You'll keep the things you want and enjoy. But it's just, this is just a reminder that we are moving on, literally. We're moving up, we're moving on, and letting go of many things. And that letting go is very, very important. I don't know if I mentioned to you last time about the monkey with the fist in the tree, but this is actually how many trappers of monkeys trapped monkeys. They would find a log with a hole in it, just big enough for the monkey to put an empty fist in, and inside they would put either a piece of food or something bright and shiny. The monkey would extend its fist in, take hold of the food or the shiny object, and then it couldn't get its hand out because it wouldn't let go. The fist was too big to pull back through the log, and so the monkey got trapped. Now, this is what we are doing. This is what happened, actually, with so many companies that have gone under. They didn't realize what they were doing. Going back in history for a good, very good example, there is not one railroad company that actually had the good sense to realize it was in the transportation business and therefore let's become an airline company. All the railroad companies either went into freight transport or they went out of business. They didn't realize they were in the train. They didn't want to let go of the trains, the tracks, and so forth. But they had the capital to have been the first companies to move into the airline industry and to do it better than any of the airline companies that had to start up from scratch. But they couldn't realize that, see, they kept thinking, we're in the train business. They couldn't see, we're in the transport business. We've got the same problem right now. We've got so much abundant gas in this country, and it's just being ignored because we've got to use oil. We've got so many other free energy forms. Oh, but we've got to stay with oil because we're in the oil business. See, that's an example of what I'm talking about, on focusing on the material form and missing the physical form. The physical form is the energy we need to run our cars, light our homes, run our businesses, heat our homes, manufacture in our businesses, our food. We need energy, and we need clean, fresh, free energy. We don't need oil. We need energy. But the monkey has its fist on a treasure and can't get its fist out of the log. Okay? We need to take major leaps in evolution. And if you look at the rocks beside the road, just drive around, look at the rocks beside the road. Those rocks are not going anywhere unless somebody picks them up and transports them. They're not going to evolve. They're not going to change. But you, the person observing them, watching them, talking to them maybe, saying hello, thank you for being there, you can change. The rock is in the business of being a rock. Let it continue to be a rock. Let's find that which serves our needs. Let's look at the pure physical, not the material. And then last but not least, being in that we are about love. The best way to discern between the physical and the material is the physical can supply you with about 50 times more love than the material can. Have you ever bought anything Well, being a girl, I could say, oh, I bought this handbag, paid more for it than I really should, but I so loved it. Oh, man, I loved that handbag. I wore it for 2 weeks, and everybody I know just said, oh, I love that handbag. And then I looked at that handbag one day, and I realized that handbag never loved me. It never loved me back. How many times have we bought something, and we loved it for reasons that we maybe totally irrational, but we loved it. We poured our love into it. And then one day we looked at it with open eyes and we say, did I ever get any love back from that thing? Well, sometimes maybe a little bit because, you know, like if we got the car, the automobile we'd always wanted, we may have gotten a lot of love from driving it. But it's not the car that brought us the love. Remember that. It's not the car that brought you back the love. It was your joy. It was your pleasure in driving. It was you being at that time in your life where driving was what made you happy and what made you feel alive, not the car itself. And when you get past that point, well, the car's just got no love to give you. It's just got none. So love is the biggest way. It's the master way of knowing when you're more attuned to the physical and less attuned to the material. And this is what Yeshua showed us the whole of his life. Taking the material and returning it into an eternal physical form. This is what happens through the Eucharist. This is what happened through his life. This is what happens even with healing. And let me say this very clearly. We've got to close because it's just about time for our blessing. But I would say so many times we perpetuate an infirmity by identifying with it. Oh, I'm lame. Or I've got emphysema. Or I've got a heart problem. Or I've got ulcers or something. I've got a deformity here or I've got eczema or what. We begin to identify with the problem. And then we vest energy in trying to correct the problem as a symptom. We see skin doctors and cardiologists and, neurosurgeons and we go and we treat the problem. And then we have so identified with the problem, we say, that's who I am. That's what I am. And then we are very vested in being that. You see, I don't think Yeshua ever saw that lame man as being lame. He saw him as being perfect. Yeshua could heal him because he never ever saw the man being lame. He brought the man into the perfection that he was. And he restored the ability of that man to be in his physical power, the power of love that pours through his physical being. He never saw the blind man as not seeing. He opened the man's eyes, probably first to see him. I would dare say the first thing the blind man saw was Yeshua. He allowed the man to see beyond his material limitations, and then the physical healed him. Remember this, all healing comes from love. It all comes from love, and love is a brother to the physical, because the physical is just a child of the adamantine particles, which is in perfect harmony and synchronicity with love. So the closer we get to the physical away from the material, the more love we're going to attract. It's love that does the healing. It's love that brings about the miracles. It's love that brings about the changes. It's love that connects us with the ones most important in our life. It's love that does the work, the real work. And so this is, It doesn't mean you can't find love inside the material. You can find it, but it's love that's locked up. Let's put it that way. It's a bird in a cage. What is in the material? It's a bird in a cage. And that's not going to nurture your life. Okay? And so that's why I've spent this time being with you on this subject, because I really want you to observe this in life as you do life, because you will be more fit to assimilate, well, first to receive the blessings, assimilate them, and then pour them out to those around you. You will be more of all that you are. And being more of all that you are is the real blessing. So let us begin. I'd like you to be seated in your blessing pose, bare feet on the ground, sitting semi-erect in your chair. You can slope a little bit and just be comfortable if you like. Head point uncovered and pointed outward toward the sun, toward the universe, for receiving. And I will say a prayer to Yeshua as an invocation, and you will begin your prayer. You can say your prayer any way you like, aloud, quietly, silently, humming, alming, whatever is prayer for you. Pray the contents of your heart. Pray the love in your heart. Pray for the fulfillment of your heart. And I would suggest, rather than pray for the needs of your heart, pray your needs fulfilled. See it fulfilled, see it given, see it being done, and celebrate the giving of the miracle. And so I will begin. I will say my invocation to Yeshua and ask any blessing giver who cares to join me to be with me, and we will begin. I went into my natural prayer, which is silent, but I realize that's not going to mean very much to you. So, dear Yeshua, Lord of the universe, the one who is with us always, whether we see him or not, the one who is with us in all conditions and makes no judgment of us, because all of our conditions are part of our learning, our discovery, and our union with life. And we know and admit that wherever we are, in whatever condition we find ourselves, was at one point, for some reason, necessary. Help us to look beyond that limitation, however, that we may see the self that we truly are, the self that can rise into the loving presence and be present on this earth physically, and yet not limited to any particular material form, where we can be the living miracle of God present on earth as you were in your life and hereafter. Amen. Your blessing is complete. The energy has been given. The love has been poured. Let you be filled with love and the blessings of God. Now I want you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Assimilate and let it fill your body, heart, soul, and being. I look forward to being with you again soon. And I give you my love as well, always. Bye-bye for now.